Oh my gosh, it's been so long. Welcome to Level Up with Danny. I'm your host, Danny Stockham. Today, we're going to discuss the holidays and how they change and evolve as your family changes and evolves. So, when I was a girl growing up in Ohio, the holidays carried some magic. Growing up in northern Ohio, we had snow at Christmas, and that really made the experience, shall I say, whitewashed with positivity. I remember not being able to fall asleep and talking with my sister, wondering what we were possibly going to get for Christmas. I remember the Christmas we got the kitchen set and how excited we were to pretend that we were wives making dinner for our husbands. Foreshadowing. We couldn't have been more than 4 or 5 years old. I remember the 1 year my parents put tracks in the snow that looked like Santa's sleigh. 40 years later, I did the same thing for our girls with reindeer food in the lawn and scuff marks on the fireplace hearth that looked like Santa's boots. Once I had children of my own, I couldn't wait to start some traditions. A few traditions that I had when I was growing up, my sisters and I, with all of our friends, would go Christmas caroling. You don't really see that anymore. It's probably too dangerous to go door to door, knocking on the door and start singing. But we literally had printed hymn sheets and we would just go around the neighborhood and sing for people. I don't know who told us we could sing, but we were belting out the tunage and people would come to the door and listen to us sing. It's such a weird concept. We also used to read The Night Before Christmas. And I heard that so much growing up that I literally have it memorized. But I think I maybe read it for my girls once or twice. That just wasn't a thing. And then driving around to look at Christmas lights, I think as I got older, once I moved away from home, I might have done that with my sisters, like as a thing we would do together. I don't remember doing that growing up. But I do remember once in Arizona, we rode like a little, I don't know, horse-drawn carriage thing through a little place in Tucson called Winter Haven, where all the rich people lived and they really decorated their houses. So I do remember that. And I remember one time going to look at Christmas lights and we walked around, and I think I had to go to the bathroom. Maybe another sister had to go to the bathroom. And we literally knocked on the door and said, "Can we use your bathroom?" Again, something you wouldn't do today. But anyways, some things that I did for my girls. We had one of those countdown to Christmas calendars, and every morning we would change the date. And I had letters from Santa that were mailed to the house, and I custom curated the letters to include names of their friends and how they were doing in school and sports they were participating in. So they were legit letters from Santa, and he knew everything. We once made a phone call to Mission Control. I don't know if that's what you call it, but so that the girls could hear where in the world Santa was and when he would be delivering gifts to our house so they could be in bed by then. We used to have these big Christmas Eve parties. Well, before I had kids, my mother-in-law would have these huge Christmas Eve parties, and they were just so fun, and everyone would go. And then I started having them at my house, and I asked both my daughters if they had like a favorite Christmas memory. And my younger daughter said she loved those Christmas Eve parties and going around looking at Christmas lights. And my older daughter, her memory, one of her favorite memories is of cutting down the Christmas trees, which I'm going to talk about that later. And, of course, the Christmas Eve parties. Let's see, where was I? So, anyways, after the Christmas Eve party, either at my mother-in-law's or when it was at our house, my husband and I would have to wrap all of the gifts. I always had waited until Christmas Eve to wrap the gifts. And maybe that was from TV, like you would watch the movies and the parents would be up late at night trying to put the toys together and wrap all the presents. And I always had special wrapping paper that was just for the Santa gifts so that the girls would know if the gifts were from Santa or if they were from mom and dad. I always got Advent calendars, and I would let them eat their little chocolate before school in the morning. And You know, we always had Christmas music playing in the house, and the house was decorated. Although I would never let the girls touch any of my ornaments because I was afraid they would break them. So when we decorated the tree, usually on a Monday night, my husband would put the star on the tree, and then that's it. He didn't participate in that. The girls would just sit there and watch me decorate the tree. I mean, maybe I had some control issues. We can talk about that in therapy. Anyways, as time went on, no, it's anyway. My friend Sandy said one thing that I say on my show all the time is anyways. And she said, it's anyway. It's not a plural word. So anyway, while time went on, my girls started to grow and they started to realize and hear at school that maybe Santa wasn't real. And I was adamant that they continue to believe in the magic of Christmas. I told them that every year babies are born, so every year Santa's list gets longer and longer. And as kids get older and older, they have to drop off a Santa's list. And Santa would notify the parents and say, you've got to take over. I'm too busy with the new kids. So I explained to my daughters, and they said that some of their friends said that I was lying. And I told them, we need to really feel sorry for those kids because clearly they're not good and they're not on Santa's list. So their parents never got the phone call that I got to take over for Santa. I'm sorry that I said that about those kids. My oldest daughter potentially still believes in Santa. She was all in on this philosophy because it makes sense. You know, kids are born and the list gets long and Santa's one guy. So it made sense to her, and she's a very practical person. My younger daughter was a skeptic from the word go, but she went along with it, maybe because she could tell it was important to me. So I see things nowadays like the elf on the shelf, and I'm so glad that wasn't going on when I was raising my girls, because it seems like a lot of work. And I'm just not that creative, and I definitely wasn't that creative when I was raising my girls, because that's a really hard job, being a mom. I always got my girls every single thing on their list, no matter what. I did farm out a few things to aunts and grandparents, but mostly, if they wrote it on the list, they got it for Christmas. I did this because I know what it feels like to want something for Christmas and not get it. I remember I wanted a 10-speed bike. All my friends had 10-speed bikes, and I had some ramshackle thrift store bike put together from bike parts that my dad found somewhere. And I really wanted a 10-speed bike. A Schwinn 10-speed bike. So I asked for it all the time. And then one Christmas, I asked for it. And we were all opening their gifts. And I had like four gifts. And my sisters each had like seven or eight. And I was just sitting there after I opened my gifts saying, wow, this Christmas really sucks. And it's terrible. And I was really sad. And then my mom and my stepfather told me to go out on the sun porch and bring in some empty boxes that were out there so we could put away, you know, put all the crumpled wrapping paper in there. And I walked out on the sun porch and there was my 10-speed bike. And they laughed and laughed like it was the funniest joke they had played on anyone. And even though I was so happy to get my bike, they ruined it. Like they took something that I really wanted and they made me the butt of their jokes. And I remember that feeling to this day. I remember that I was like, I got on the bike and it's winter, obviously, we're in Ohio, and I'm riding my bike around the neighborhood and just crying, like so happy that I got my bike, but just like, that was so mean. Like, why would you want me to feel bad? And then be like, surprise. But they were terrible people, so maybe that's why. Anyways, I never wanted my girls to feel anything but complete joy on Christmas morning. My youngest daughter was a real pill, and she wasn't the best at waking up in the morning. And the year that she got a bike for Christmas, I was so excited. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy. Do you love it? It's pink. It's got streamers. What do you think? Blah, 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 blah. And she's like, oh, it's all right. She was really grumpy and mad. And I remember having almost like a PTSD from when I got my bike because she had no joy for this gift that I was so excited about. But conversely, I remember the year that Santa left a note for her saying that he had picked out a cat for her, but she had to go to the Humane Society and find the cat that he left for her. She was like 2.5 years old. So the day after Christmas, December 26, we went to the Humane Society, and I told Leah, I said, the cat's here somewhere. I don't know where, but Santa left it, so you're going to have to go find it. You'll recognize it when you see it. So we're all spread out at the Humane Society going in different rooms. And my husband's like, I think I found the cat. And he calls us all back to this room. We don't know where Leah is, so it's just me and Grace. And my husband's holding this yellow cat. It's like a senior cat because it's the Humane Society. And I was like, that is not the cat. The cat that's here, Santa left for Leah. I doubt he left her a cat that's going to live 3 more years. Like, that would be traumatizing. So we didn't get the yellow cat, and we're looking around for Leah, and we walk into this little cat sanctuary room, and she's sitting in the room, and there's a cat on her lap, and she's like, oh, this is my cat. And I said, how do you know? And she said, well, he came right up to me and sat on my lap. And I was like, oh, where did he come from? And she like points, and I go, oh, his name's Thomas. And she goes, yeah, that's the cat that Santa left for me. So we adopted Thomas, and he was, you know, like a year and a half old. And we had him for 18 years, and he was the best cat in the whole wide world. And God, I miss that cat so much. I think about him a lot, especially around the holidays. He was just like the best cat. He never climbed our tree or did anything crazy. He was just like the best. Well, here's the thing about holidays. What the holidays that you had when you were little and your kids were little, or the holidays you had that you just can't stop thinking about because they were so great, those are not the holidays of today. I mean, on a personal note, both of my girls have moved away. I don't have any idea what this holiday is going to be like. I know they're both going to be home. My younger daughter, I think, had to leave for work last year, either on Christmas Day or the day after. And it just makes you cherish those memories so much about when they were growing up. But as our children grow and move on to different places and start families of their own, you know, we're going to have to roll with that. I expanded my decorating from 1 Christmas tree to 5 Christmas trees. And I still love to go overboard with the shopping. But it's not the same because both girls have jobs and they can buy whatever they want for themselves. They don't really need to make a list. There is some sadness around that, but I know that the foundation that I laid and the rituals that I started, they will carry with them and pass them on when they have families of their own. And there's some gratitude and pride around that for me. We are living in a time where families are divided, not just by miles, but by politics, religion, sexual preference, and just the preference to be surrounded by people who you love and who you choose to love, and to not spend time with people, whether they're related to you or not, who are toxic. I have many stories about family dynamics that have shifted over the last few decades, and I hear stories from my friends about their own personal family dynamics. Sharing these stories only helps me to feel less alone. Divorces, disagreements, and distance all play into the reasons for families to be separated. Once I started my own family, I wanted everything to be at my house, and I wanted to invite everyone from my family, as well as everyone from my husband's family, to come to my home and celebrate the holidays with me, my husband, and our girls. I really believed that if I took over the holidays and hosted at my home, that everyone would show up, and that would remove the stress of having to negotiate time between divorced parents, different families, in-laws, etc. And I would say, for a handful of years, that was successful. But then separations occurred because of the desire shared by my husband and I that we don't need to spend precious holidays with people who don't value our family the way that we do. I never thought that I would be in this position. I never imagined a time where the holidays would be spent without my sisters and their children, but here we are. I'm estranged from 2 of my 3 sisters, and I have no relationship with my father. I don't have a relationship with my father-in-law or his wife or one of my husband's sisters. And as a result of this, my daughter's blood family is small. But they have a huge family, a family that we created with friends and the remaining family members that we are still in touch with. There comes a time when going through the motions because that's what you've always done becomes unhealthy. And if I'm going to pass on all these incredible memories and rituals around the holidays, I don't want to pass around behavior that is not authentic just because it's expected. There is a level of sadness that this is where we are, but I couch that sadness in my strength. The relationships that I no longer facilitate, curate, or allow no longer serve me, so I no longer have them. I'm not sure what this example is that I'm setting for my daughters, except that they know that anyone who chooses to be around us deeply loves us, and that's good enough for me. They have godparents, grandmother, aunts and uncles who do love them and do want to be around them. And I know that they take a lot of comfort in that and count that as their family and that their family is big enough. I grew up with all my cousins and grandparents, and it was just so joyful. And I feel sad that my girls don't have that experience, but they do have god sisters and god brothers and, like I said, extended family. My husband has a huge business, so we have a lot of those people that we consider to be our family. So there are people around us. It's just, you know, that whole, you know, blood relatives. But sometimes God chooses your family for you, and it doesn't have anything to do with blood. So as family structures change and the kids grow up and start families of their own, our holiday traditions are forced to change as well. I'm going to be on the ground floor of helping my daughters emulate the holiday joy and pass down rituals for their own children and my grandchildren. And I'll enjoy every second of that, knowing that it is such a gift to be allowed to be surrounded by familial love that is true and strong. The dysfunction, chaos, and tragedy that echoed in my childhood took a break around Christmas, at least for a few hours on Christmas morning. When the homemade sweet rolls were fresh from the oven, the tree was lit, the gifts were piled under the tree, and no one had started drinking yet. And you could still feel the potential for magic. Those are the memories that I choose to hold on to. The excitement of my daughters waking up at 6 a.m. asking if we can open presents while my husband and I are still sleeping after being up until all hours of the night wrapping gifts is as tangible of a memory as if it were happening right now. I still buy a Christmas ornament every place I go for every trip I take. I still give Christmas ornaments to every new couple as a wedding gift. I have a ritual where I give Christmas ornaments to every single one of our employees at our holiday party, and I've been doing it for 31 years, so some employees have 31 ornaments. I would even let my daughters touch my ornaments these days. In 2017, our house burned down, and some of the most valuable things that we lost in that fire were my Christmas ornaments. I took my girls to see Santa every year and bought the ornament with their pictures on it, so I lost all of those in the fire. Plus the original Christmas ornament that my husband and I received as a wedding gift that said our first married Christmas, 1993, which started my tradition of giving that same ornament to all of the married couples that I knew. In 1992, when my husband and I were first dating, he took me to a Christmas tree farm and cut down a Christmas tree for me and my sisters. The name of that farm was The Spirit of Christmas. Boyd and I went to that Christmas tree farm for 24 years straight and cut down a tree. And that, as I said, that was one of my older daughters, one of her really good memories. The Christmas of 2017, after the fire, we went to the Grayton Fire Department Christmas tree lot. We wanted to celebrate and support the first responders. That was the last year we bought a live tree, period. Since then, I've purchased 6 artificial trees of different sizes and shapes, and we won't cut down another Christmas tree until we do it with our grandchildren. Although some of the best memories I have are the 4 of us going to the Spirit of Christmas, hunting for the perfect tree, and then laughing and arguing as Boyd cut down the tree and we dragged it to have it bagged and put on our truck. I have some amazing pictures of our girls with our dogs over the years running through the Christmas tree farm. So that's been a hard one to give up, but I look forward to the day when we can do it again with our grandchildren. No pressure to my daughters, Grace and Leah. So Grace said, you know, she loved when we cut down the tree and, you know, it was always just so festive. Maybe we would get some hot cider or, you know, buy some mistletoe. And then we'd get home and it would be like a whole thing to get the tree in the house. You know, drag it in through the front door and then there's pine noodles everywhere. And then, you know, Boyd's trying to make it fit in this tree stand and having to maybe put shims in if the trunk was too small or expand the tree stand all the way out if the trunk was too fat. We always named the tree. Like, if it was Doug Fir, we would call it Doug. You know, it'd be like, oh, Doug looks so pretty today. One year we got, I think it was like a spruce or, I think it was a spruce. And my husband was putting the tree in the stand, you know, and kind of had his arms wrapped around it. And he, when he was done getting the tree in the stand, he's like, oh my God, my arms are itching so much. And he was totally broken out in hives. He's like, I'm allergic to this dang tree. Like, this is terrible. What are we going to do? And I was like, you're fine. You've done your job. You don't have to touch it again until we take it down. But that is kind of a memory that sticks in my head. I just loved all that cutting of the tree. It was so cool. And my daughter Grace said to me, we loved it so much until we realized that, you know, they were kind of like undesirables that were working the Christmas tree farm. Like, you know, it's probably not a great job. And, but, you know, as my girls were like, who are these people? Like, where are their teeth? Kind of, you know what I mean? Anyways, spirit of Christmas. It's a great Christmas tree farm. The holidays are hard. Being alone around the holidays must be unimaginable. It literally causes me physical pain to imagine someone being alone at Christmas. One year, I think it was the second year that I lived in New York, I was alone on Christmas. And I, oh my God, it's so sad. I drove around for like 2 hours. I drove all around New York. I drove into New Jersey. I went to a donut shop and got like 4 donuts. And I just was like, I'm pathetic. This is my life. I didn't have a boyfriend anymore. You know, my sisters were all in California. I mean, I was alone at Christmas in New York. It was really sad. So I know what that feels like, and it's terrible. This year, instead of giving each other gifts, we're doing Angel Tree donations and sponsoring children who need help to have a good Christmas. If you're able to give this, if you're able to give, this is a great way to give back. My older daughter's here right now, and we're going to go on Friday and do our Angel Tree shopping. Why am I coughing, you ask? Good question. My youngest daughter already did her Angel Tree shopping, and she made a video about it on TikTok. And if you want to watch it, I can link it on my page. It's really good. At our company Christmas party every year, we do a toy drive, and we give all the toys to the kids through the Roanoke Park Rotary, and they pass them out. And there's just no greater feeling than knowing that you're helping someone have the holiday they deserve. So this year we have like, I think, 487 RSVPs for our party, which is on Saturday. So I expect to see just tables piled with toys, which I see every year. And then the Roanoke Park Rotary will, you know, give those toys out. And I'm really proud of our employees for participating in that. It's got to be probably the 15th year of us doing it. It's just a nice way to give back. If you know someone that's going to be alone over the holidays, reach out to them. I've had 63 Christmases. Well, I'll have, yeah, this will be my 63rd. I don't remember all of them, but I remember enough of them to have a cache of memories to dig into every year and remind me of my fortune and keep me grounded in my happiness. I'll probably go to church on Christmas Eve and sing the Christmas songs in full voice because I love all of those songs. I'll go with my sister, maybe one or two of my children, probably one of my best friends. I don't know if any of the husbands will come, but they're welcome to, of course. And I'll hold the candle at the end of the service and sing Silent Night. And I'll probably cry, because I cry a lot around the holidays. Not from sadness, but from gratitude. If you know someone who needs a lift over the holidays, whether that's a phone call or a visit or a small gift to unwrap, let me know, and I'll take care of that. Happily. I hope everyone has a wonderful holiday. I hope you surround yourself with people you love, people who love you back, and that you don't force yourself to be around people who don't fill your heart and make you feel valued or bring you joy. Life is short. Holidays are to be cherished, and we all have free will to create the kind of memories you'll want to hold on to instead of avoid. I have so many favorite Christmas songs, and I was looking for some songs yesterday, so I'm going to play some of them. But first, I'm going to do my radio business because that's my J Diamond B. Okay, first one is a current event. The Occidental Community Choir invites you to join us in creating Light in the Darkness, a concert series filled with music that carries hope through struggle, warmth through winter, and light through the longest night, with songs that uplift, inspire, and celebrate the resilience of the human spirit. This season's program reminds us that even the smallest flame can guide us home. Performances include Friday, December 5th at 7 o'clock, Saturday, December 6th at 3 o'clock, Sunday, December 7th at 3 o'clock, Friday, December 12th at 7, Saturday, December 13th at 7, and Sunday, December 14th at 3. The 5th, 6th, and 7th take place at the Occidental Community Association in Occidental. The Friday, the 12th takes place at the Tamales Town Hall. And Saturday, the 13th, and Sunday, the 14th take place at the Glaser Center in Santa Rosa. Or is that Glaser Center? G-L-A-S-E-R. So that sounds really good. Who doesn't like to hear winter concerts? I know I do. The next public service announcement is the Community Seed Exchange. The Community Seed Exchange is an all-volunteer group of local gardeners and seed savers. They maintain a thriving seed garden and a community seed library located on the grounds of St. Stephen's Church in Sebastopol. The seed library provides Sonoma County gardeners with free, locally grown, open-pollinated, pesticide-free, and GMO-free seeds, mostly grown in the seed garden on site. To volunteer, visit www.communityseedexchange.org/contact. That's a good one. And then we have the program promotion announcement. The show is called Way Out in the Garage. Join Chaz, alter ego of KOWS Radio, Uncle Charlie Adams, on the second Wednesday of each month at 6 p.m. for Way Out in the Garage. He'll be bringing you the many strains of music usually spawned in that very setting, the garage. Collectors have always dug deep in the treasure trove of rare recordings and occasionally even hits that feature the rougher, wilder, edgier, even cruder and sophomoric, but really cool sphere of garage music. There are even some current performers carrying on the style. Once a month, Charlie will stick around after his jukebox show and magically morph into Chaz for this adventurous hour. So tune in on the second Wednesday of each month at 6 in the evening for the originally produced KOWS community radio program at 92.5, streaming live at kowsfm.com. I'm going to play a song, and while I do that, I'm going to cue up my underwriter acknowledgments. The first song is a song from my childhood. It is a Johnny Mathis song. My mother was obsessed with Johnny Mathis, so we listened to his records a lot. And this song is the original, it's called The Christmas Song, Chestnuts Roasting on the Open Fire, and it's by Johnny Mathis. And it's a good song, and this is a good version of it. So I'm going to play that and cue up my underwriters, and I'll be back. Stand by.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. Eskimos, everybody knows, a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright.
tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering the simple phrase to kids from one to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know. Many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
KALS Radio thanks the California Bluegrass Association for their ongoing support. The association has been dedicated to the preservation of bluegrass, gospel, and old-time music since 1975, sponsoring concerts and music camps throughout California. For more information, their website is cbaweb.org.
KALS thanks Barrel Proof Lounge in Santa Rosa for their underwriting support. Located at 501 Mendocino in the Brickyard Center, they feature live music, karaoke, trivia, comedy, and more. Their website is barrelprooflounge.com, and they can be found on Facebook and Instagram.
KALS thanks Cloverdale Travel for their generous underwriting support of KALS. They specialize in cruises, hotels, and car rental agencies, and have been serving Sonoma County at their downtown Cloverdale location for over 28 years. For more information, they can be reached at 707-894-5284 or by email at craig@cloverdaletravel.com.
KALS Radio thanks Sonoma County Gazette for their support. The Gazette is 100% advertiser-supported and free to readers focusing on local news throughout the county. They can be found online at sonomacountygazette.com.
Cows thanks Molesbury's Market for their underwriting support. Established in 1959, they were a family-owned grocery located on Old Redwood Highway in the Larkfield Center. Their website is molesburymarket.com. Molesbury's Market tunes into the Roots of Rock every Sunday morning at 7 on Cows Community Radio.
Cows thanks the MarkWest Area Chamber of Commerce for their support. The Chamber is assisting in the development of a community park in Larkfield, another example of their commitment to enhancing commerce throughout the community through stewardship. They can be found online at markwest.org or contacted at 707-578-7975.
Okay, how about a little Silent Night from Carrie Underwood? That's a favorite. I'm going to play Bruce Springsteen's Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I probably won't play the whole thing because I think it's too long. And then I have a funny favorite of my husband's to play. So here's Bruce Springsteen's Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
It's all cold down along the beach. Wind's whipping down the boardwalk. Hey, Ben!
Hey, Ben!
You guys know what time of year it is? What time?
What? What?
Oh, Christmas time. You guys all been good and practicing real hard? Yeah? Clarence, you've been rehearsing real hard now. So Santa, bring you a new saxophone, right? Everybody out there been good or what? Oh, that's not many. You guys in trouble out here. Yeah, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. We'll be right back.
Yes, the Fat Rascal is coming to town in 21 days. Okay, the next song is my husband's favorite holiday song. It's called Santa Claus and His Old Lady, and it's by Cheech and Chong. And he knows every word to this song, and when it comes on the radio, he acts like a straight-up fool. So I'm going to play it. Hopefully he's listening. If not, I'm sure we'll hear it a few times over the holidays. This is Santa Claus and His Old Lady by Cheech and Chong.
Mamacita, donde está Santa Claus? The vato with a bony knees. He's coming down the street with no shoes on his feet. And he's going to... No, that ain't it. Mamacita, donde está Santa Claus? The guy with the hair on his jaws. Hey, man, come over here, man. I need some help, man.
Yeah, man, I can dig that. What are you doing, man?
I'm trying to write a song about Santa Claus, man, but it's not coming
about
out.
About who, man?
About Santa Claus, man. You know, Santa Claus,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah, man. I played with those dudes, man.
What?
Yeah, last year at the Fillmore, man. Me and
you
the bass player sat in, man.
Oh, hey, session, man, you think man. Santa Claus is a groove, huh? No, it's not a groove, man.
Would they break up, man?
Oh, no, man, it's one guy, man. You know, he had a red suit on, man, with black patent leather shoes. You know that guy. Hey, man.
Oh, yeah. He's with Motown, ain't he?
No, man.
Yeah, I played
not...
with that dude, too.
No,
yeah, he's
man.
A good singer, man.
No, hold on, man. He's not with Motown, man.
Well, then he's with Buddha, man.
No. Oh, man, you don't know who Santa Claus is, man.
Yeah, well, I'm not from here, man. I'm from Pittsburgh, man. I don't know too many local dudes.
Oh, I see. Well, hey, man, sit back and relax, and I'll tell you the story about Santa Claus, man. Listen. Once upon a time, about 5 years ago, there was this groovy dude, and his name was Santa Claus, you know? And he used to live over in the projects with his old lady. And they had a pretty good thing together because his old lady was really fine, and she could cook and all that stuff like that, you know? She made the best brownies in town, man. Oh, I could remember them now, man. I could eat one of them, man. Wow.
Wow, did you know these people, man?
Oh, yeah, man. They used to live next door to me, you know, until they got kicked out, man.
What, they got kicked out of the projects, man?
Yeah, you know what happened, man? They used to live with all these midgets, you know? And the midgets used to make a lot of noise, you know, pounding and hammering and pounding all night, man.
Typical freaks.
Oh, man. Yeah, man, they were really freaks, man. As a matter of fact, they all moved up north together, you know?
Oh, they have to go get their head together, man?
Yeah, get their head together, man. And they started a commune, you know? It was called the Santa Claus and His Old Lady Commune. It was a real famous one up there, man. And they used used to sit around and groove all the time, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Really good time, man.
Hey, that sounds heavy.
Yeah, eat the brownies, man. They drink the tea, man. And what they did most of the time, though, was make a lot of goodies, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And they had everything they needed. They only needed to come into town maybe once a year or something like that.
Pick up the welfare check and the food stamp.
Yeah, man. No, what they did, man, is once a year, when they made all the goodies, you know, they used to put them in a big chopping bag, and then they used to take the chopping bag and deliver them to all the boys and girls all the way around the world,
hey,
man.
Well, that's it, man.
Yeah,
that sounds real nice.
Oh, yeah, they were really nice people, man. They had so much class, man. They had so much class, you know, like even take the way they used to deliver the toys, you know. It's like Santa Claus used to have this really sharp short, man, you know. It was lowered to the ground at twice pipes, candy apple red, and button tuck. Ooh, clean.
Yeah, that sounds like a hip snowmobile, man.
No, it wasn't a snowmobile. It was a sled, you know. One of those big sleds, you know. And used to have it pulled by some reindeers, you know, like reindeers.
Some what, man?
Some reindeers, you know. Used to hook them onto the sled, and then used to stand up inside the sled and hold onto the reins, and then call out their names, like, on Donner, on Blissen, on Chewy, on Tavo, come on, Beto. And then the reindeers used to take off into the sky and fly across the sky, man.
Wow, man, that's far out, man.
Yeah, and then when they fly across the sky, they used to come down to places like, oh, Chicago, L.A., Nueva York, and Pacoima, and all those places, you know, and then land on top of people's roofs, and then old Santa Claus would make himself real small, you know, like a real small guy, and he'd come down the chimney, and then he would give you all the stuff that he made, man, and dig this, man, he did it all in one night, man.
Hey, just a minute, man, now how'd he do that, man?
Oh, well, man, he took the freeway, how else, man?
No, man, how did he do all that other stuff, man? Like, how'd he make himself small, man, and how'd he get the reindeer off the ground, man?
Oh, well, man, he had some magic dust, man.
Some magic dust?
Yeah, magic dust. You know, he used to give a little bit to the reindeer, a little bit to Santa Claus, a little bit more for Santa Claus, a little bit more.
And this would get the reindeer off, man?
Oh, got them off, man. Are you kidding, man? They flew all the way around the world, man.
Hey, that's far out, man. Hey, how come I've never met this dude, man?
Oh, man, he doesn't do that bit anymore, man. It got too dangerous, man.
Yeah, I can dig that, man, because that's a dangerous bit, man.
Yeah, let me tell you, it sure was, man. Like, just 2 years ago, man, he got stopped at the border, you know, and they took him into another room and took off his clothes, man, and searched him and searched his bag of goodies, man. And then when he was leaving, man, he was flying through the air, somebody took a shot at his reindeer, you know?
Oh, that's a drag,
yeah,
man.
It really was, man. And then, man, he went down south, man, and they tried to cut off his hair and his beard, man, and all the time he was getting stopped and pulled over and asked for his ID, man. Just everywhere he went, he ran into too much recession, man.
No, man, you mean he ran into too much repression, man.
Repression, recession, man. It's all the same thing, man.
Yeah, man. It's a drag, man, because we could sure use a dude like that right now.
Yeah. Oh, well, he still comes around, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but he comes in disguises now.
Oh, he went underground.
Yeah, underground, man.
Yeah, I can dig it.
Yeah. Hey, but you want to see his disguise, man? Nobody would ever know it was him, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's got a job in front of the department store, ringing this bell and playing this tambourine next to this black pot, you know?
Oh, I seen the dude.
Yeah,
man.
You know who I'm talking about,
man. Yeah,
man.
I played with that cat last year, man.
What?
Yeah, we played in front of a store, man. We made a lot of bread.
Oh, hey, wait a minute, man. Santa Claus is not a musician, man.
I'm hip, man. That cat didn't know any tunes, man.
Oh, hey, wait a minute, man. No, he's not into that at all, man.
No, I played with this.
Does that give you a little sneak peek into who I'm married to? You have no idea how much he laughs at that song and sings along. Now, my next favorite song from Christmas is A Little Town of Bethlehem, and I have a version by Annie Lennox that is going to blow your mind. Stand by.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet it
She has the most beautiful voice. That was Annie Lennox with A Little Town of Bethlehem. I have two more songs, Hark the Herald Angels Sing by Amy Grant, and finishing up with O Come All Ye Faithful by Carrie Underwood. I'm sending blessings out to all of you this holiday season. Share your joy, share a smile, celebrate your memories, and make some memories. Merry Christmas to everyone. I'll be back in 2 weeks. And let me know if you know of anyone that needs a little extra this holiday season. Just hit me up on social media. If you know my number, send me a text. Okay, here's Hark the Herald Angels Sing by Amy Grant.
Herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations